Blog Talk Radio.
93.3 FM is on. This is the Thursday night and the Sunday night flight. Hey, yeah, I'm the Floss Child, Mr. Boots Rothschild, the East Coast player, you dig? And you tuned in to the Thursday night and the Sunday night flight with OG Sweet. Cadillac.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Tweed go way, way back, it is. Playing records straight out the crate.
Oh, yeah.
You probably ain't heard them in such a long time. You got to keep tuning in, baby. Give us a call at 347-308-8747. You know, that's Vlog Talk Radio, baby. We're worldwide, huh? Can you dig that? See, dig this. And you know we miss you when you don't tune in. Without a doubt. Number again, in case you missed it, baby. 347-308-8747.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's so smooth, Tweed.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, you know, it can only be done by the one and the only OG Tweed.
Oh, yeah.
Cadillac.
Oh, yeah.
Now you stay tuned, cause in 2 and 2, we getting ready to give it to you, baby. Uh-huh. 93.3 FM.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be real, real fly tonight, y'all. Welcome to 93.3 FM. I am the party rocking player. Original Los Angeles piece, better Tweed Cadillac, baby. You're on a Thursday night flight. I like to call it the After Six Cruise Mix. Lowrider oldies, R&B, and all in between. Tonight's episode is brought to you by I Am Indy. Tonight we'll be sharing a musical journey with Brass Construction, hailing out of New York, New York, one of the funkiest bands in the land of all time. want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. This monumental episode, 93.2 FM. Ism, baby. Throw out oldies, R&B, and all in between. We are known to keep it flashy, classy, and jazzy. We are for the people. We are with the people. So please go tell your peoples. We're going to expose you to some funk from Brass Construction. We're going to converse with its founder and composer and producer, Mr. Randy Mueller. He also produced another legendary group by the name of Sky. Feel good on this rainy night in Los Angeles, California. I think I'll get into a little bit of that Sky as well. Join After Six Cruise Mix, 347-308-8747. I am Indy Enterprise. In conjunction with yours truly, Mr. Tweed Cadillac, baby. If you hail in Los Angeles, California, tomorrow night from 5:30 to 8:30, I need you going down to Deacon Park Recreation Center. It's located at 1550 West 35th Street, Los Angeles, 90018. Teen Club, third annual free Thanksgiving dinner. Something positive for the community. Absolutely free. Music, poetry, a raffle. Take your family down, get a bite to eat. Support your community because that's all you have. 5:30 to 8:30, Deacon Park Rec Center. Once again, 1550 West 35th Street, Los Angeles, 90018. Do a map quest. Come with a kind heart. Leave your hatred at home. Come celebrate, break bread. Within your community for teens, families welcome, music, poetry. Very enlightening evening, y'all. That's the community call out. Every week we're going to be giving a special event. What's going on in your neck of the woods? You can't just take from the community, you must give back. As they say, we all we got. If we fall, we can't ball, y'all. 93.2 FM. I got on my pajamas. Can you believe it? Aha. I don't need no music, man. I don't even need no music, man. But it's gonna go down. I don't need no music, though. I'm telling you.
We don't need no music, because all we want to do is sing and dance and party down and play like I do. We don't need no music, because all we want to do is sing and dance and party down and play like I do.
One more time.
Me equals 93.2 FM. I love you, y'all.
let's all get down.
Everything.
just a melody. That's all you got to do.
Oh yeah, it ain't Ice Cube, y'all. That's destruction. 93.3 FM. Good Thursday night flight after six cruise mix. Don't touch that knob, it's my day job.
I'm Charlie Starr, and you're listening to 93.3 FM, the only station that plays low-ride oldies, classic R&B, and all in between. Tweed Cadillac, baby.
He is I. I am him. Ralph Destruction, y'all. You're on 93.3 FM. The Thursday night flight. We keep it classy, flashy, and jazzy. It's all about the folk. You hear them horns. Combined with those strings. It's a real funky thing, y'all. Stay tuned. Me equals 93.3 FM. Coming to you right about now. the legendary composer, producer, musician, arranger. I mean, this guy wears so many hats, it's like, man. Mr. Randy Mueller, how are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm good. Just chilling. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing swell, man. These horns are just all in my membrane. I am so impressed by the way that you could take these horns, combine them with these strings. Oh, my God, man. How many instruments do you play, sir?
Well, I'm not playing the horns there. I play quite a few, but the horns are provided by the guys in the group. I love horns, actually. Growing up, I always have this thing. I love big, loud, and just aggressive horns, and I think with brass I was able to do that quite well, quite easily. I play the flute. I've done the keyboards, you know, some drums, some guitar, some bass, you know, a little of this, a little of that. Whatever needs to be done, I do. But, you know, we just had a really good brilliant horn section.
Brilliant. I mean, one of the best.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the best.
They know what I like. They know the sound I'm going for. And because we've worked together for quite a while. So it kind of worked out.
And considering how you mix the strings, see, the horns are like a focal point, but the strings have just as much presence to me, especially on Get to the Point. I just played that previously. And the strings sounded as if they were a lead instrument as well as the horns. You know, it's like, man,
to sit back and arrange that's brilliant. Well, they talk to each other. They wrap around. The string supports the horns. Sometimes the horns will answer the strings. And you have a dialogue. It's funny, when I wrote a lot of this stuff, I was in school at that time studying counterpoint, you know, writing, you know, doing studying classical, et cetera, and jazz. And a lot of the stuff, as a matter of fact, there's one song I did for BT Express, it's called Express, where it basically, for most of my work I did on that album, in terms of arranging, my role as an arranger, string arranger, it's pretty much my homework. I just did, you know, the guy was teaching us a thing called contrary motion. You know, you have some sound and then going in two different directions. One's going up, one's going down, kind of. And, you know, you use those techniques. On the album, so I was learning as I was going and just doing this stuff, just doing my homework in the studio. And it was a great way to learn. And, you know, it seems like the end product was something really cool and lasting.
Indeed, you did. You pulled that off quite well. And what's really remarkable is a lot of people always just focus on whatever the group's biggest hit was. But a lot of songs that were on these Brass Construction albums had just as much power. If they would have been released as a single, they would have been a hit as well. I mean, the albums were always consistent. That's what really impressed me about the group. It was like consistency, man. Nothing was weak at all. Everything was above board.
Well, the thing is, I never think of, when I approach writing the songs and arranging, I never think of any song as a B-side or any song as secondary. If you write them as if that's the main song, that's the single. Each song has to have, you know, legs of its own and to be able to stand up to scrutiny. And the yardstick we use a lot of that stuff is, it got to make you want to move. If you can't do your movement, forget about it. You know, your lyrics, all the songs have a bass line you can remember. You know, when I write them, it's bottom up. It's bass and drums. Then you stack it with the horns, and we got a little chanting. Because we weren't really a singing group, per se. We basically, the world was all about the horns, right? We loved, in those days when we were coming up, we loved, like, old-time Cool in the Gang. We loved Chicago, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. There used to be Mandrill and those type groups would listen to, and so it had an influence on me, at least, you know, the Crusaders, you know, Stick Super and the guys, Jazz Crusaders, those were my influences, of course, James Brown and all, but, you know, we basically were more so an instrumental kind of group, and then, you know, once we were making a solid commercial effort, we realized that you have to have some words. That's why, you know, it's the first album. The titles were basically single words, like moving, changing, talking, dancing, right? They're all verbs.
Yeah.
They're all verbs. Action words. Action words. And, you know, no big, long lyric. We just get to the point and just say what we got to say, you know. Times are changing.
Speaking of get to the point, that's one of my all-time favorites.
That's right. You know,
what's your favorite Blast song, sir?
I don't know. I can't think of it. I like Changing a lot. I like Changing a lot. I like what it says. I just like the musicality of it. But there's some songs that I really... the message is great. There's some later on in some of the albums. Get Up to Get Down is funky. There's some songs that you like because of the story and the message. And then some is just the groove is just, you know, infectious. And you're like, man, that's nasty, right? Get Up to Get Down, to me, is one of my favorite funky songs from Brass. But Changing is great. I love Moving. Love some of the stuff on the fifth album. Some really cool stuff. The Message. So
music makes you feel like dancing.
Asking a mother who's your favorite child. You know, they're all like the children. I love them all, but some stick out a bit more. You know, so depends on the mood.
I can dig it. Well, I got my favorite right here, and I'm gonna play it. You guys, you're going to hear this right here live, 93.3 Tweed. We're in the building with Mr. Randy Mueller, the founder, co-producer, the official director, music director, arranger of Brass Construction, Among Sky, BT Express. The list goes on. This man is big time. Let me get into this one right here. This is called Peaking. This is one of my favorites. If you want to call, talk to Randy, 347-308-8747, y'all. 93.3 Tweed FM. Islam. Hey, run by, wanna catch you. ballistic music of brass construction. Like I said earlier, Funky is in a big old pot of chili cooking in the summertime. Tweet FM. Live on the premises, the man, Mr. Randy Mueller. Let's talk business, sir. Let's talk business. How did the record company treat you back then? Because I've heard so many stories. They're all true.
Yeah, I believe that. Well, you know, we have to realize, back then, for example, we were young. We were excited about getting in the record business. It wasn't about the money as much as, you know, a lot of guys. I mean, we just wanted to let the world hear our music. You know, the girls were lots of fun. For a lot of guys, that was a draw. But yeah, later on as we progressed and the success came, it was about business, and it wasn't particular to brass construction. Most of the groups back then had very, very onerous deals, and that's how business was conducted. I mean, some people never saw their royalties, and a lot of it has to do also with our lack of understanding of the business. We go into it, in those deals, for example, you know, the group might get 2 points or 3 points. Let's call a point a percentage. If it's 3% or 4 or 5% of the pie, so you got a pie, and so if you're going to get 5%, someone's getting 95%, right? So that was the going thing. You know, some groups get like 2%, 3%, 4%. Now imagine the groups back in those days. They were large. You know, we had 9 members, right? So let's say we're taking the 5%. Let's say, no, we didn't get 5%. We got about 2% because 5 may come to the producer and the band. The producer takes 2. The band gets 3. So let's say we get 3%, right? And if that wasn't bad, you get the 5% is 5% of 90% because the record company would hold 10% for breakage, which was a joke because we weren't doing those old-time records. You know, when you crack them, right? The records were made out of vinyl, which didn't break like that, right? So they would take off the top, they take off 10% for them for breakage, just in case the records break, they'll get their money back. But it was very unlikely in 1975. As a matter of fact, some contracts went into the 1980s and 90s with that type of, you know, deduction, right? So it was very interesting. So the groups didn't get much. We made their money from touring, doing shows. You know, later on, they started selling T-shirts and merchandise. But mostly, you make your money from your tour. And the other good thing is that the writers and the publishers made money. During those days as well, you had a situation where the publisher, the person who owned the song, they would sign the rights. Many of the group members didn't even know what publishing was. In many cases, they just know it's something, you know, whatever. But that's a very important right to have. You own the property. You own the song. So if someone else wants to record it, do anything with it, you have the right. You will get royalties from it. But many members, you know, many of the musicians during that time, it didn't seem as something of value. It was made to sound like something trivial and something that, you know, I don't worry about that kind of stuff. It kind of
put your kids through college with. I always thought that you weathered that storm.
It's like owning real estate. It's like owning real estate. It's like owning a building. It's like owning land, right? That's copyright and the publishing rights go on for a lifetime plus 50 years, right?
Exactly.
So your children and your children's children could actually have
it's what you put your kids through college with. thought you weathered this storm because I figured that by you being the producer and the writer, they really couldn't cheat you. They might cheat it half the other members of the group.
There's still an effort because it has to do with the structure of the business. It's set up in this way. And it's basically dovetails with American, the way we do business in American capitalist society. In other words, the person that takes the risk gets the most of the fruits, right? If the record company is going to put the money up to sponsor you, to pay for your studio, pay for the musicians, pay for all of everyone going in a studio, the theory is that they're entitled to get the most of the profits, right? So I realized it was like, it's like 95% of it. But it was that was the game. Secondly, all the money that they put out on your behalf, you have to pay back. A lot of musicians, they realize that. They go, oh, man, they're giving me a new ride. They give me all this stuff. Well, that's your money you're spending because every record they sell, they take that money back first. Then you get paid. So if that record doesn't do well, you'll never see anything because you're still unrecouped. You still owe the record company money. So it's a very interesting game. You have to understand it's a business. That's why it's called the record business, right?
Indeed.
So once you understand it's a business, you can be a little more clever in how you conduct yourself. And, you know, a lot of the artists today, I mean, look back and they're groaning like, oh, my God, we have nothing. It was the structure of the deal. A lot of them signed it. And, you know, in America, we tend to honor contracts. And, you know, we sign the contract. That's it. You're over 21. That's it. Over 18, 21. That's it. It's pretty much binding in many cases.
Well, you've managed to...
So that's the industry. That's the industry in general, just an overview of it. So someone said a record company cheat you. A record company may say... Well, no, we didn't. I mean, you signed the contract. You know what was going on. We assume you knew what was going on, and this is how it's done. But the record company gets most of the money. Today, even the record company, once you go with a major, they get most of the money. Again, the one who puts up the money, takes the risk, gets most of the fruits of that risk.
Indeed.
Because on the other hand, if you put on a record that doesn't sell, they're not getting the money back. It's not going to come back. Right? If you put a record that doesn't sell at all, they're stuck with that. They don't force you to give them the money back. Right? You don't have to give them the money back if you don't have it. But if you do make money, they're going to take their chunk out of it, their piece of flesh. So that's how it works, if you ask me about the record industry back in those days. And it's pretty much quite similar today as well. Although I think many of the artists are quite a bit more savvy. The younger generation... They're more savvy, the more lawyers involved, you know, they're getting better representation. And they're very much more, a lot of the kids today are much more into getting paid. It's about getting paid. Whereas in the old days, a lot of us, you know, didn't put a lot of it. Because remember, we had music programs in the public schools. And a lot of us came out of the public schools playing, or we formed bands. It was just the thing to do. Like in Brooklyn, we had Crown Like the Fear. We had BT Express. We had Brass. We had other groups in the area, a lot of groups in the area that came out of the public school system because that's how it was done back in those days.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been fortunate enough to have a little bit of longevity in your career. I understand you're still working. Tell our listeners what you got up right about now.
We got quite a bit of stuff. Going back a few years, I did a smooth jazz album, actually, called Randy Muller. It's called Groovin' You. The album's called Groovin' You. You can get this on iTunes. Just look up Randy Muller and you see Groovin' You. I've been a flute player. As you heard in that song, Pekin, a flute playing in the back. I've been playing the flute for quite a while. And I always wanted to do a really cool album featuring the flute. So I finally got to do it when things slowed down and I got a chance to concentrate on myself. I think it's one of the best albums I've done. I really feel really cool about it. It's, as a matter of fact, we just put it up on numberonemusic.com, a month or two, three ago. It's over 110,000 plays already. It's a very, very popular album. So we have that. It's called Groovin' You with a group called Randy Muller Boom Chang Bang. We just put out a really exciting project, something I've worked on for about 2 years. Brooklyn Soul Biscuits. It's something about the Newgrass Construction, just a little hipper, younger, but with the horns, with the groove going on in the back. So that's it's called, the group is called Soul, Brooklyn Soul Biscuits, right? Again, that Brooklyn thing. It's called Brooklyn Soul Biscuits, and the album is called Soul Biscuits. That's just coming out. It's not on iTunes as yet, but you can get it on places like TrackSource, TRAXSOURCE, TrackSource.com. You can get it at Juno.com, JUNO.com. You can get it on CD Baby if you want, but it's there. And it's one we just put out last week. It's called Randy Muller's Brooklyn House Party. For all those people who love to, you know, dance their butt off, love soulful house, something else I wanted to do, make it like a party like we used to do back in the day, the basement party, the dollar party, that kind of thing. Just pumping music where you sweat and dance all night. And so it's Randy Muller's Brooklyn House Party. That's out. That's on Juno, CD Baby. And next week it'll be up on TrackSource, and another week it'll be on iTunes and Amazon and all that kind of stuff. So just Google my name. Just put my name up, Randy Muller, when you go in, and you could find a lot of the product. So that's what's happening. I'm working on a new Boom Bang Chang album, new smooth jazz album. We have another album called Groovaloos coming, which is more of a dance tech thing. And in addition to that, I'm doing, you know, touring, preparing to do the tour with Brooklyn Soul Biscuits, heading to Europe, and just having a great time in Japan. Just having a great time on the road.
Well, I found a song here very, very interesting to me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the introduction of Lover Nova. Check this out. Real smooth, man. Real smooth. 93.2 FM. It really don't get no smoother and no funkier than that. Mr. Mueller, what I can say...
That's one of the Boom Bang Chang and the Jazz album was telling you about, the smooth jazz jam that was just put out some time back. But that's one of my favorite songs from the album, as a matter of fact. I had lots of fun doing that album because, as I said, for quite a long time I wanted to do just a flute thing for myself. And I finally got a chance to do some things. I sat in my, studio in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning. That's the time I write most of my songs every day, 2, 3 in the morning. And I just, that melody came, and I just played it right at the board. Just played it.
Wow.
And that was it. That's what you listen to. The track is real
raw.
Has a nice feel. And, fantastic. I love that track.
Me too, man. You kill those flutes. I mean, it just so melodic, man. It reminds me of Sunday afternoon sitting in the park with a picnic basket. You know what I mean? It's just overlooking a lake.
Well,
it's beautiful, man.
That. We have the Soul Biscuit. We got a jam called Beautiful Day, and that was supposed to remind you of that scenario. Very bright, sunny day. Sometimes it's 3 in the morning, but I'm seeing the sun at the same time. You have a really fantastic feeling inside, and you kind of express that through the music, and that's what I think happened with that one.
I can dig it. So what do you do when you're not doing music, Randy? You have any hobbies?
I run my businesses. I'm doing a lot of, I do my exercising and running, and I run a school. I do all sorts of things. I have, I handle all the catalog of all the songs, hundreds of songs that we've had. I control that, and I handle that. Place it in movies. We do movies. We do commercials. Different things I'm involved in. I'm also involved in the. I was just nominated to be on the board of directors of ASCAP, the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, which was an honor for me. So I'm involved in the business and political side of things. In the interim over the years, I went back to school to study with a master's degree in international relations. And I do media studies and all sorts of other things.
That's impressive.
But I'm just enjoying myself, making lots of music, doing, just I'm getting ready to do a bossa nova album. A very Brazilian album. I just love, and also a classical album with orchestra, relaxed music. And so I'm going there as well. So producing quite a bit of music, a depth and a wide variety of sounds, but still keeping it funky, still never going to leave up the funk, still doing the stuff with the funk and the horns, because I love that. That's my main thing.
That's the meat and potatoes.
Make them dance. You got to make them dance, and that's what I do.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So what do you do for the community? We're kind of positive.
Well, for the community, what I do,
wanna help.
I run a school, which is a preschool that I run, and we're so successful. We have an amazing waiting list. We get amazing results with children who go on to some of the elite schools within the Northeast, if not the country. They start at about 2.5, 3 years old. By the time they're about 5, we're doing amazing. Their math skills are three grades above, three levels above their grade level, right? The reading is just 3 points above grade level. And in a time when everyone is giving up on education, thinking like, the kids aren't doing this, the kids aren't doing that. An interesting thing about how we run it is that they're not computers. We don't do computers. They're not computers. It's old-fashioned learning. Old-fashioned learning. Learning your times tables, learning your phonics, learning taking those types of steps. The fundamentals, the basics, is what we look at and what we concentrate on. And the results are fantastic. By all measure.
That's commendable. So what advice can you give a new and upcoming artist that's struggling, trying to really get to a plateau on what you've reached? What can you tell him that can possibly motivate?
Well, you have to multitask. I mean, you just don't play an instrument and do music. You have to get a better understanding of business. Because today, you know, there's a lot of artists that just don't make music. They got a clothing line. They're doing acting. They're doing merchandising. It's now a really you have to do a package. In addition to your musical talents, you have to have an understanding of business. So the first thing, I would try to understand how business, you know, just basic general business law. Understand about copyrights, because you'll be dealing with copyrights. Owning property, owning, you know, your brand, your name, is something of value. So you try to educate yourself. I really think it's not the old days where you just sit and play the guitar or you sing and that's it. I think that's over. You have to be a little more astute. You have to be a little more involved with the business side of things. And I think if you take that approach, you have a better chance of success. The music game has changed tremendously from since when we started in the 1970s. The royalty rates are different. Musicians are making much less. Because of Spotify and Pandora and these things, the royalty rates are much, much lower. Right? In the old days, you sell a record from the publishing side of it, you get about 2.35 cents, right? 2.35 cents for every record that was sold, right? It went up to about 8 cents, six and a quarter, and went up over the years. Now, with streaming, which a lot of the companies are pushing, you know, you're making 0.00034 cents. It's not even a penny. You're making 0.00034 cents or so, micro pennies. So you got to sell millions. You got to sell thousands and thousands of have thousands and thousands of downloads and sales to make what we used to do with, let's say, 10,000 records sold in the old days, right? Or 20,000 or 50,000 records. You have to sell, it literally sell like 500,000 or a million to really make some money, right? In other words, you have to get those micro pennies to add up, and it takes a lot of sales. Not everyone, you know, does that. I mean, Gangnam Style was a record that was amazingly popular, and it, you know, he made tons of money because the amount of hits he had was amazing. Not every artist has that. I mean, to get 100,000 hits is a pretty big thing, and not everybody gets that. So one artist, for 100,000 hits, I think you get what? $800. You're not getting $8,000. You know, it's not gonna work that way. So
seems like the game is rigged.
The game is rigged, and they're moving now. You're getting less money for the same product. The old days we complained how horrible it was, but in some things we got at least you made the money. Now it's a very different thing. You have to do thousands and thousands and thousands of plays or downloads to or streaming hits to really make the same kind of money. So that's the new game. So that's new with volume, right? The theory is that, oh my God, the whole world is listening to your stuff. Therefore, if you do micro pennies, because we have more than a billion people, you're going to get, you know, all those people listening to your stuff. That's not the case, right? You don't get a billion people listening to your song. You're happy if you get a million to listen to it. You know, you're happy if you get 100,000 or you get 50,000 to listen to your song, much less a billion. You know, it doesn't work that way. So the money, the revenues have declined, and artists have to find other ways of making a living, right? Find other ways of making a living in addition, you know, or supplementary, they go get into supplementary type of activity, like selling something else, you know, selling T-shirts or a book or whatever, you know. So that's where we are right now in the game. But there's still money out there to be made. I wouldn't discourage anyone from doing it. If you have a passion, you're prepared to work hard, and you have great talent, I say go for it. I mean, there's lots of stuff to be money to be made.
So what do you think about sampling? Because your music has been sampled by not just rap artists, but R&B artists as well.
I think sampling is a great thing. I think it's fantastic. You just have to pay the artists and pay the writers. And that's what, that's been a struggle in many cases, because we have a generation that's grown up, a new generation that believe, you know, they're not used to paying for music. They're not used to paying for stuff. They normally can download it for free. They got an app. They could go and bootleg, you know, get bootlegs. But sampling is great. It keeps a lot of songs alive. A lot of old songs that would have otherwise disappeared have been kept alive through sampling. Right? Some songs is like, it's gone. But the sampling will make, you know, bring it back alive. Look what's happening with the old Marvin Gaye situation. Right?
Yeah.
The blurred lines of it. Yeah. The Marvin Gaye track with Robin Thicke. There he just brought him. You know, it's not like Marvin Gaye wasn't popular, but it really invigorated his brand sort of. So it's sampling, I think, is a cool thing. I'm nothing against it, except you got to pay the writers. You know, you got to pay the people who are supposed to be paid.
So what kind of situation are you in now? Are you independent? Is it your own label, or are you signed with a major?
Yes, I've always had my own stuff from the beginning. I've always had my own production company, publishing company. The label that the music you played from Boom Chang Bang is on Plaza Records, which is my label. Plaza Records has been around since the mid-90s. Yeah, it's been around since late 80s, 90s, yeah. So we've been around for a little while. The publishing company's been around since the 1970s.
So are you collaborating with any other artists?
I'm not doing too many artists. I have so much in-house stuff to do. It's only so many hours in a day. I take something on, but I really have so much to do, and I'd rather take my time and do a good job at it than dividing myself up and doing, you know, things just to do it. I just finished the Soul Biscuit album. I have to do another one. I got the Boom Chang Bang thing to do. I'm doing a lot of collaborations with in the house area where we have guys doing remixes and things like that. On that level, yes, I'm doing collaboration, but not to take on a whole album project or something like that. It's not right now.
I can dig it. So tell the fans where they can reach you once again, for those that missed it earlier.
Well, you can always, I'm on Facebook, just do this, search Randy Muller. There are two Facebook pages. One you won't be able to get on because it's filled up. You can't take any more people. But there's one still, you know, a brand new one I set up, and I'll be happy to say hello to you and be part of my Facebook family. You can just Google me. Randy Muller, just go to Google. My stuff is on iTunes. It's on Amazon. It's on TrackSource, a lot of dance heads. It's on CD Baby. You Google my name anywhere. It's on Juno.com. You Google my name, and you can find me. As I said, go to Facebook, Google Randy Muller, and you will find. You can say hello, and you get a link to a lot of my things.
Beautiful. Well, I sincerely want to thank you for blessing our platform this evening. I know it's kind of late on the East Coast. I want to wish you all the luck and success in your future endeavors. Also, when you have your European tour coming up, you know, give me a hit, and I will mention that to my fans in London as well. Where might you be going in Europe?
Well, we're doing Paris. We're doing definitely London, Birmingham, and points north of London. And then we would go off to, I think, Tokyo or Japan or something. They're still putting it all together, but it should be an interesting outing this time. So I keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. And also a lot of loot. You're going to be okay.
Right?
Thank you so much, sir.
I wish you good luck. And want to say goodbye to good day to everybody, depending on where you are. And all the best. Like I said, you go to Randy Muller on Facebook. I'm there. Say hello. Let me know that you heard me on the show. And we can do stuff. We got lots of music out there. I'd love to share with you. Okay? Have a great night. Take care.
Beautiful. Come back and talk to us soon.
Take care. Bye. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. 93.Tweet FM. You got to get up to get down, y'all. Low Rider Oldies, R&B, and all in between.
Seven
Don't touch that knob, it's my day job, y'all. Once again, tomorrow night, Deacon Park Recreation Center, 1550 35th Street, L.A., 90018, invites you to the Teen Club 3rd Annual Free Thanksgiving Dinner. It's a respectful environment. Treat others like you want them to treat your mama. It's free for family and teen.
Every day, we're on.
93.Tweet FM. You know, sometimes music makes you feel like dancing. Now you gotta get on down. You gotta get up and get down. 347-308-8747. Make sure y'all hit up Deacon Park Rec Center tomorrow night, 5:30 to 8:30. Got a Sweet Cadillac sent you. FM, dedicated to Olivia Garcia from Little Freddie, Boston. He say, baby, just call me.
Can I satisfy things they want in someone to hold you tight, someone to treat you right. Though your girlfriend's a friend of mine, here's my number and a dime. Call me anytime.
Call me
if you need someone to talk to.
Call me
satisfaction guaranteed.
Call me
if you need someone to talk to.
Call me.
Thank you.
next month is going to be spectacular. I'll be sharing the evening with the Whispers. East LA's finest. The legendary group War. Also from South Central Los Angeles. He goes by the name of Baby Fingers.
I'm just a wild and crazy guy.
The Chris Russian. Sammy from Alicia, Savannah, Georgia. He says she's turned up, she's ready to turn it up.
93.3 FM. Got to turn it out. One to one, you and I, me and you. Tennessee.
Make sure to tell a hater to tell a player. Every Thursday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time.
Like a dream come true.
We're going to keep it moving. Ralph's Construction, 93.2 FM.
93.3 FM. Nice broadcast brought to you by IM Indy. We're doing a Thursday night flight after 6 cruise mix. Remember those drink and drive on these rainy streets. Nobody else do. Make sure to treat others like you want them to treat your mama. Sometimes you might gotta let go of what's killing you, even if it's killing you to let it go. You wanna be a big shot, keep on shooting. The day you stop trying is the day you start dying. Better to attempt to do something great, not do nothing at all. The purpose of life is a life with a purpose. Don't beat on the wall hoping it's going to transform into a door. Screw your wig on tight, it's going to be all right, y'all. Keep the faith. Can you see the light at the end of the tunnel? It's shining bright.
Set down again. Everybody, want you to get up right about here. What we gonna do tonight?
Going on vacation for Thanksgiving. I'll be back next month with the Whispers, War, Patrice Rushen, just to name a few. Make sure you tune in to 93.3 FM. If you want to reach me, facebook.com/TweetCadillac. Go to my personal website as well, OGTweetCadillac.com. Have a blessed evening. Make sure to come out and support my people tomorrow night. 5:30 to 8:30, Deacon Park Recreation Center, the heart of South Central. God bless you, you and yours, me and mine. Good night.